In the past 6 months, many Australian communities have experienced the double trauma of bushfires followed by COVID-19. Recovering from the fires saw people come together for support, but now they're forced apart. Rob Gordon is a clinical psychologist with 40 years' experience in crisis support. He's a consultant to the federal and state governments, as well as the Red Cross on emergency management. I spoke to him about the difficulties of finding support in isolation.
What happens when people get together is they communicate, they talk. It's not as easy, but we can do that by electronic means where that's possible. What we can say in essence is we need to create opportunities where people can share their experience, learn from others, and feel part of a larger group so that they don't feel isolated in that sense.
Is there hope that a lot of those communities have already started talking, and so keeping them communicating in different modes might be an easier transition than if it all happened all at the same time?
Yes, we have had some situations where, particularly in situations where there's been like toxic contaminations or asbestos or whatever, where people have had to completely leave the area and distribute all over the place. That's happened sometimes after bushfires, and that's far harder. So I think it's been very important that there's been a strong thrust, and there are national guidelines and values about community-led recovery and helping communities develop their own voice for recovery. And to whatever extent they've been able to do that will be an enormous help during this lockdown period. But the essence will be for everyone to work out how to develop a replacement for the many different opportunities to meet and mingle that occur in the rhythms of normal community life.
A lot of attention's given to how children are affected by trauma and the kind of conversations we have around them and with them. For those children who have been affected by that and then are being kept home now and hearing words about these contagions in the air, what kind of approach would you recommend for keeping them informed and making them not feel too scared?
The thing that research shows is the best indicator of children's reaction is not the children themselves, but their parents' attitudes. So if parents are calm and thoughtful and confident about what's happening, then the children will relax. If the parents are frustrated and angry and upset and worried and frightened, then the children are going to be upset. And what I've learned from many years working with children is the children know whatever's going on in reality, regardless of what we say. But if we don't tell them about what's going on in reality, then they can feel something's going on, but they don't know exactly what it is that they know, but they know something's not right. And I think that's a much more unstable, uncomfortable feeling than being sat down and told, yeah, we've got a dangerous situation here, but we know what to do, and this is why we're doing it, and this is how long it's going to take, and so on. And then concentrate on the creative job of how do we have fun and have a nice time in the current situation. And that's a challenge that people can harness their energy to. We also know from a lot of experience that even if you are frightened and worried, just don't share it with the children. Share it with your partner or whoever after they've gone to bed. But when you're with the children, just try to be calm and confident, but realistic.
For people who are not connected into their community, are there recommendations of ways to approach self-care?
There are people who don't feel well connected for all sorts of reasons themselves. There are people who already struggle with, you know, a load of anxiety or depression or just lack of confidence to go out and mix with people. We notice that quite often in the intense processes after a natural disaster, there are some people who will say this was the first time they really felt they belonged. What we need to reassure people is that actually they do have a place in society and in community. They just need to step into it and encourage them to participate. In this case, of course, electronically, to feel that they can join in. But I think if people are finding it really hard, there are lots of opportunities for people to make contact with either supportive agencies, Lifeline, Beyond Blue, and so on. But I'd say, you know, get onto the internet, or if you don't feel confidence, you might ask someone that you feel can do that for you. Have a look at self-help groups in your area. Make contact, reach out, make a connection. There are many, many people out there who love to help, who want to be useful, who want to have the feeling they've been able to make a difference to people. Don't think you're being a burden, because you're giving people an opportunity to do something that's deeply satisfying for them.
Rob Gordon, clinical psychologist and emergency management consultant to the Red Cross. And if you do need support in these trying times, you can reach Lifeline on 13 11 14 or find a list of resources and support services at beyondblue.org.au.